ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 36, Text 17. Yashodaya sutam kanyam Devakya krishnam evacha Ramancha rohini putram Vasudevena bibhyatha Nyasto swamitre nandevai Yabhyam te purushahataha Yashodaya sutam kanyam Devakya krishnam evacha Ramam cha rohini putram Vasudevena bibhyatha Nyasto swamitre nandevai Yabhyam te purushahataha Yashodaya sutam kanyam Devakya krishnam evacha Ramam cha rohini putram Vasudevena bibhyatha Nyasto swamitre nandevai Yabhyam te purushahataha Yashodaya of Yashoda, Sutam, the daughter, Kanyam, the female child, Devakyaha of Devaki, Krishnam, Krishna, Evacha, also, Ramam, Balaram, Cha and Rohini Putram, the son of Rohini, Vasudevena by Vasudev, Bibhyata, who was afraid, Nyasto placed, Swamitre with his friend, Nande. Nanda Maharaj, Vai, indeed, Yabhyam, by which two, Te, your, Purushaha, men, Pataha have been killed. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Narada told Kamsa, Yashoda's child was actually a daughter, and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Also, Ram is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudev entrusted Krishna and Balaram to his friend Nanda Maharaj, and it is these two boys who have killed your men. We can repeat together. Nanda told Kamsa, Yashoda's child was actually a daughter, and Krishna is the son of Devaki. Also, Ram is the son of Rohini. Out of fear, Vasudev entrusted Krishna and Balaram to his friend Nanda Maharaj. And it is these two boys who have killed your men. Purport. Kamsa had been led to believe that Krishna was the son of Yashoda and that Devaki's eighth child had been a daughter. The identity of Devaki's eighth child was extremely important to Kamsa because a prophecy had foretold that her eighth child would kill him. Here, Narada informs the king that the eighth child of Devaki was the formidable Krishna, thus implying that the prophecy should be taken very seriously. Having received this information, Kamsa obviously will now do everything in his power to kill Krishna and Balaram. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantekam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sanyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the entire Bhagavatam, is a narration of the transcendental pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. We're so fortunate that we live under the shelter of Krishna and Balaram here in Vrindavan. Now, many people are under the impression that Krishna immediately left Mathura at the time of his apparent birth and instructed his father Vasudev to bring him here to Vrindavan so that he could give pleasure to the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Actually, Krishna came to Vrindavan because he was so attracted to the love of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And therefore now, for the past 11 and a half years, although he instructed the demigods, he instructed all of the demigoddesses, everyone, including Narada Muni, who came to the ocean shore of the Milk Ocean to relay the message via Brahma that the earth is suffering. And Vishnu, he assured them, I am coming, you all take your berths. So he had come with a mission, but when he came to Vrindavan, he forgot all about that mission. He was so much absorbed In the beautiful pastimes that he was enjoying with his devotees here in Vrindavan, he forgot about his mother and father, how they were suffering, shackled in chains. He forgot about all of the Yadavas who had to flee to different countries. He forgot that Kamsa was going to kill all of the cows, saintly persons, anyone who was in any way connected with the demigods, because he was enjoying here. And as a daily pastime, Kamsa would send his demons to try to kill Krishna and Balaram. But for Krishna, again, it was just child's play. So Narada, at this point, he wants to expedite the pastimes of the Lord. Everyone outside of Vrindavan is suffering miserably because of the atrocities of Kamsa and his associates. Kamsa, not only did he go to East Bengal and pick up Pralamba, Naraka, Baka, Aga, Putana, Arista, and bring them back to Mathura, but he also went to the Rishimukha forest. And there, he fought with Keshi, who was a terribly powerful horse, who had been cursed by Indra, and he had to stay in this form of a horse. So he subdued Keshi and brought him back. He also fought with Devita and pounded him so all of his bones were broken, so Devita became one of his allies. And then he went to Mount Mahendra, where Parshuram lives. And just as a play toy, he picked up the whole mountain of Mahendra and put it down, picked it up, put it down 100 times. And this angered Parshuram. Parshuram appeared in front of him with the bow of Vishnu. This bow of Vishnu was so big, you take 10 palm trees, and that was the dhanush. It was that thick and that heavy. And he threatened Kamsa that I've come here to kill all the Kshatriyas. I see that you're just a rascal king. I'm going to kill you, but I'll give you one chance. If you can string this bow, then I won't kill you. So Kamsa, because of his extraordinary demoniac strength, he very cautiously, he took the bow, he strung it, and then he unstrung it, and then he strung it again and unstrung it, just to show Parshuram that this was just a plaything for him. The Parshuram was impressed. He said, this bow belongs to Vishnu. When Shiva was fighting the Tripurasuras, Vishnu gave this bow to Shiva. And now, seeing your strength, I'm going to allow you to take this bow to worship. But I warn you in advance, anyone who can break this bow, they will kill you. So this is a prelude to what we're going to hear in the coming chapters. Now, when Narada Muni, this is a very key verse in the pastimes now, because Narada Muni, having seen how the Yadavas, the demigods, the Suras, the Bogas, the Rishnis, they were all suffering under Kamsa's reign, he wanted to take the matter into his own hands and speed up everything so Krishna would quickly come to Mathura. So the first thing he did was he came and spoke in a secluded place to Kamsa. He gave him Dura Mantra, bad advice. He spilled the beans. He told him everything. Now, this wasn't the first time that Kamsa heard this. But Kamsa, just as when the unembodied voice called Kamsa a fool, actually it was Durga Devi who called him a fool and informed him that the 8th child of Devaki has already appeared. He is somewhere else. And then he saw that the child was a girl. No, that's right. The unembodied voice was when Kamsa was taking the marriage party. And then when he saw that the 8th child was a girl, He didn't have much faith anymore in unembodied voices. He thought, well, they lied once, they could lie again. He knew it was the demigods speaking. So, and the demigods were his sworn enemies, so they could be misleading him with these unembodied voices. So when Kamsa released, after Durgadevi flew away, Kamsa, he begged forgiveness, begged mercy from Vasudeva and Devaki. They didn't trust him at all. And he went home. And then again, while he was sitting at his home, another eloquent, unembodied voice came to him and informed him the exact same thing that Narada told him here, that actually Vasudeva tricked you. He has taken his two sons, kept them under the care of Nanda Maharaj, and they will kill you. So Kamsa knew about this, and that was when he called Putana, who was like a dear sister to him. And he told Putana, you go and find these two boys. I know you have a special benediction from Durvasa Muni. You can take any form. You become a beautiful woman. You smear your breast with poison, and you kill these two boys who are destined to kill me. So he sent first Putana. He lost his dear sister that way. And then he continued. Now, when Kamsa had his change of heart and he decided that he was sorry that he killed all the six sons of Vasudeva and Devaki brutally, and he called his ministers and told them, the ministers, they decided that no, Vishnu is your enemy, and Vishnu's limbs are the cows, the Brahmins, the saintly persons. So you leave this up to us. If you want to kill Vishnu because you're afraid he's going to kill you, we will lop off his limbs by killing all the cows and the saintly persons. And not only that, we'll kill all the children, because when Kamsa heard that within 10 days Krishna had appeared, he wanted all the children killed, a little more than 10 days, anyone within 10 days. So the ministers, these great demons, like snakes, they went everywhere from sea to sea, killing the children, killing the cows, killing the saintly persons, and trying to find Krishna and Balaram. So this went on for 11 and a half years. When Aristasura came, that was more or less the end of the Vrindavan pastimes. Krishna was just about 10 and a half then. So within the span of a year, Narada decided to come and give this Dur Mantra to Kamsa in a secluded place. Now, how did Kamsa react? Kamsa went to sleep that night. He had a terrible nightmare. When you read about this nightmare that he had, when I read it, I couldn't get to sleep last night. It was so frightful. Disembodied, dismembered, noses cut off, people dancing wildly. Right in within the dream, it was all happening in Kamsa's palace. Every room he went to, there were mad people dancing wildly, coming to attack him. There were stacks of cut-off claws. There were wild monkeys jumping everywhere. There were beautiful people coming towards him and then cursing him and running away. Terrible dreams. And when Kamsa woke up the next morning, he realized there are different psychological terms. Now, he realized he needed trouble. He needed help. He realized he was in trouble because he couldn't even sleep peacefully at night anymore. He was so afraid. This paranoia had overtaken him so much. So he needed help, and he called everyone that was close to him, his family members, whatever was left of his ministers, just a few, his priests. He even had Ugrasen and Vasudev come. And he recounted to all of them within his assembly hall the horrible nightmare that he had. And he asked them, what should I do? Now, within that assembly, there was a priest named Satyaka, and he was a disciple of Sukracharya. Because naturally, the demons, their priests, their gurus, they would all come in the line of Sukracharya. So Satyaka, he spoke up. He said, why are you worrying when I am here? This false pride of the demons. He said, I know what the solution is. You don't have to worry about anything. He said, you have this beautiful Dhanush of Lord Shiva. You take this Dhanush and you do Dhanush Yajna. And for Kala Bhairava, who was a very fierce form of Lord Shiva, you slaughter so many animals during this sacrifice. And then you invite everyone from the whole Surasen and all of the surrounding areas, you invite them to come to see this yajna and to see a huge, beautiful wrestling match. Because 5,000 years ago, wrestling was very popular, even as it is now. We still have the Palwans here, and they have their wrestling matches. So it was Satyaka's idea. And he said, now, when it comes to these two boys, Krishna and Balaram, you have to be very careful who you choose to go to Braja. There are only three people that you can send. One is Vasudev himself, because if they see their father, of course they'll come with their father. The other is Akura, their uncle, and Akura is very faithful to you. So anything you ask him, he will do. And the third is Uddhava. Now, most of the Yadavas had fled Mathura, living in other countries. But a few Yadavas had remained in Mathura because they understood that if they stayed here, if they tolerated the atrocities of Kamsa, then Krishna would surely come and they would have darshan of Krishna. So they were waiting for that opportunity to have Krishna's darshan. And Akura was one of those rare souls who had enough faith in Krishna that he would come to Vrindavan. So first, Kamsa called Vasudev. He said, Vasudev, you go and get your two sons. I understand, because right here, Kamsa was prepared to immediately kill Vasudev for tricking him. But Narada convinced him, Vasudev isn't your enemy. You have to kill these two boys. Leave Vasudev. So he said, Vasudev, you go and bring your sons here, and we will kill them here. Vasudev, he replied to Kamsa, how can I bring my own sons for you to kill them? If I bring my sons here, certainly there will be bloodshed. Either you will kill them, or they will kill you. And not only will one of you two be killed, but there'll be so many other tragedies, so many other deaths as a result of this. And if I bring them, either I'll be called the murderer of my own sons, or I'll be called the murderer of the king. So you ask somebody else to bring them. So he stepped aside. Then he called Akura. He said, Akura, I want you to go. I have this beautiful new chariot. Now, Kura thought that that was just perfect. Kamsa thought this would be an impetus, just like we get a new car, we want to drive around the new car. She thought Kura would like to bring this new chariot to Vrindavan. But Kura was thinking, yes, it's only right, it should be a new chariot, because nothing that Kamsa ever used should be used for Krishna and Balaram. So Kamsa explained the whole plan to Akura. I want you to bring them. You bring them to the yajna stall. Then you bring them to the wrestling arena. I will have my elephant, Kuvalayapita, there to kill them. If by chance they're not killed by Kuvalayapita, in the wrestling arena, My powerful wrestlers will kill them. So this is your mission. You bring these two boys. Now, Akura, being the best of diplomats, that's how he was able to survive this reign of Kamsa. He gave very peaceful advice to Kamsa at this time. He said, you have an excellent plan, but you have to maintain your equilibrium because we have to be steady in success or failure. Remember, man proposes and God disposes. Now later, we'll hear when Akura went to tell Krishna Balaram of this plan, it's man proposes and God laughs. Because when they heard of the plan, Krishna Balaram just started laughing. And that was when they decided, all right, it's time for us to go. So he said, Akura told Kamsa, he said, whatever happens, we have to remember that everything is in the hand of the supernatural power of destiny. And Kamsa just laughed. He said, strong men don't care about destiny. Strong men make their own destiny. It's only weak men who lean on destiny and wait for something to happen. But strong men like myself, by our own hard work, we create our own destiny, which he was doing, but not the destiny that he was planning for. So he refuted Akura's gentle and peaceful advice to him. He wasn't going to remain equal. He was going to kill Krishna and Balaram. So Akura, that was Ekadasi that all this happened. This meeting in the assembly. Akura had fasted the whole night. He couldn't sleep. He was so excited that he was going to see Krishna Balaram the next day. So he was observing Ekadasi perfectly. But he was also so excited to see Krishna Balaram that when he got on the chariot and he started from Mathura to Vrindavan, he forgot to break his fast. So he was fasting, just meditating on Krishna Balaram, offering prayers, waiting to see them. He finally arrived, and he saw their footprints. He offered his obeisances in the dust. We'll read all of this in the coming chapters. Now, at the same day, this Dwadasi, Kamsa tells Keshi to go. He told him the day before. Keshi left that day on the Dwadasi of the dark moon, the Gonapaksha, Krishna Paksha. Keshi went also. He took this form of the ferocious horse. And Krishna, now Aristasura, it took Aristasura 15 slokas to be killed. It took Keshi only 8 slokas. We'll read about that next. He wasn't that big of a demon for Krishna. Krishna had a lot of fun with him, actually. So within 8 slokas, he was killed. And after Keshi was killed, Narada also came from Mathura. And in a secluded place, he also spoke to Krishna. Krishna was sitting. They were all alone. And Narada Muni began to offer beautiful prayers to Krishna, all of his qualities, all of his pastimes. And then he reminded Krishna that I know you've been so absorbed in your pleasure pastimes here in Vrindavan, but you have to understand that your mother and father, Vasudeva and Devaki, have become the slaves of this sadist, Kamsa. They're suffering under he's locked them up in chains tightly. And you are the only one who can free them. And if you don't come and free them, then who in the future will ever agree to have children? Because if you, Krishna, will not free your own parents, then what to speak of other people? They'll follow in your example. So this woke Krishna up. He said, yes, I must go. I must free my parents. I must free all of the Yadavas from the suffering that they're undergoing. Now, when Narada spoke to Kamsa. He explained to Kamsa, very in detail, he said that all of the Vasus have taken birth within the clan that Nanda Maharaj is ruling. All of the Suras have taken birth within the clan that Vrishabhanu is ruling. All of the Gopis, they are led by the personified Vedas, who have also taken birth as Gopis. And in Mathura, all the demigods have taken birth in the Yadava clan, and their wives, the demigoddesses, have taken birth in their wives. So you have many enemies who are waiting for your death. Kamsa, he felt himself to be so powerful. He had so many allies. Sambara, Bana, Naraka, Dvivida. He named to Narada all of my allies. He said, what do I have to be afraid of? But these two boys, they have to be killed. So therefore, Akrura happily went. And when he gave that message to Krishna and Balaram, Krishna, Balaram, and Akrura then went to Nanda Maharaj. And Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, I want you to call an assembly of all the gopas. I have something very, a very important message from Akrura. So Nanda Maharaj, he called the assembly. Upananda, all the Nandas were there, everyone was there. And Krishna explained that we have been invited by Kamsa to a wrestling match. So I want all of you to get ready. We're leaving tomorrow morning. You bring gifts for the king, you fill up your bullock carts, and we'll all leave together. Now, the gopis, Yashoda Mai, everyone was also hearing this. They became struck with fear. Nanda Maharaj, he almost became unconscious. That, does this mean that Krishna and Balaram are going to leave for Mathura? But he had to follow what Krishna said. So next morning, they all filled up their carts. Now, Akrura, he didn't want to go with all the other carts. He was afraid that maybe they would change their mind. There, from Nandagaon to Mathura, there's several routes. Even now, there's several routes. You can go by Kosi and then take the road that leads to Delhi, or you can go through Govardhan, Barsana, or Akrura. He decided to take the most remote, smallest little path. That's called the Akrura Gaman. You can see it from the rooftop of the Nanda Bhavan. A very, very small dirt road. And that was the path that he decided to take, to go through Vrindavan, through the forest, and then reach Akrura Ghat, where he was going to take bath at noon, because he didn't want to go with the mass of the gopas. He wanted to make sure that Krishna and Balaram reached. And that was the place where the gopis stopped Akrura and Krishna and Balaram. Krishna Balaram assured them, I'll be back by noon tomorrow. You don't have to worry. I give my word. It might take a little longer, but I assure you I will be back. Radharani, she in great distress, she went to the home of her father. Krishna came here, came to that place, assured her. He said, you know that you've been cursed by your brother Sridham. We have to be separated for 100 years. So I'm going now. I will come and see you every month. You stay here, you wait for me. After 100 years, I will return, and we will return back to the spiritual world together. So all of these different plans of the Lord. Number one, he had to fulfill the mission for which he appeared, which was to free the demigods, free the devotees from the onslaught of the demons. He had to kill Kamsa, and he wanted to enjoin his pastimes. So Krishna, by this act of having Narada come to first Kamsa and telling him about the the real identity of the sons of Vasudeva, then coming to Krishna and reminding him of his duty to his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki. This was everything to speed up the pastimes, because the devotees had been suffering outside of Vrindavan for so long. And it's at this point we'll hear how Krishna kills Keshi. We'll hear how Krishna and Balaram enter Mathura so majestically, how they come to the Danur Yagya. And although the Danur was being surrounded by so many guards, so no one could come near it, Krishna and Balaram just flicked them aside. Krishna went right up to the bow. He broke the bow. And the sound of that bow was so terrific that even Kamsa in his palace could hear it. And he realized, now my death has come. And in such a state of fear, he did everything. He placed Kuvalayapita there. Krishna killed him. He placed all of the wrestlers in the wrestling arena. Krishna and Balaram killed them all. And then finally, Kamsa, all alone in his king's box, when he saw that all of his plans had failed, he called to his armies that you capture these two boys, you throw them out of the town, you take Vasudeva and Nanda and behead them for betraying me. You lock up all of the those who were assisting Vasudeva and Nanda, and you plunder all of the bridge bossies with all the things that they had brought as gifts. And Krishna, he became so enraged. Now it was just Kamsa and Krishna all alone. And he jumped into the box. And Kamsa, in complete fear, Kamsa, he attained perfection because of his total absorption in fear of the Lord. In the seventh canto, Narada Muni is speaking to Yudhisthira. Narada Muni explains, it's the first chapter, he explains that not only by bhakti can you attain perfection, you can also attain perfection by passion, by envy, by fear, by attachment, and by lust. And he gave examples that Shishupal and the Chedi princes, they had so much envy and malice for Krishna. They were fully absorbed 24 hours in hating him. And this hatred caused complete Krishna consciousness in Pratikul. But at the time of being killed, they were purified because Krishna was right in front of them. Only Krishna can give liberation, full liberation. And only full absorption in Krishna can assure you of liberation. Narada Muni gave to Yudhisthira the example of Maharaj Vena. Maharaj Vena also hated Krishna, but he was an atheist, and he wasn't fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He had other things on his mind. So when he was killed, he wasn't liberated because he wasn't thinking of Krishna with the same absorption as Shishupal. He was thrown down into hell, and his son Prithu had to uplift him. Then the example of Kamsa. Kamsa, he attained perfection by being completely absorbed in fear of Krishna. Day and night, everything he saw reminded him of Krishna. There, we'll hear later. He, even when he saw his wives, he thought it was Krishna and Balaram because they were dressed very nicely. And when Kamsa finally died, his wives, when they came to grieve, they told him it was just like Mandodari when Ravana died. She said, what do you expect? All of the sinful activities that you performed, of course you had to die. So these two wives, who were the daughters of Jarasandha, they said, "You have brought this on yourself by your sins. You mercilessly killed the newborn babies of your own sister just to protect yourself. For such a sin, you had to die." So his own wives understood that, yes, this was definitely due to him. But he attained perfection in fear. Then the gopis, Sukadev Goswami, at the end of the last chapter, he explained that if Sisupal can attain perfection by his hatred and get liberation, then what to speak of these gopis who were so absorbed in passionately loving the Lord? Definitely, they have attained a much greater position than Sisupal, who also had absorption for the Lord. So there are two types of liberation. The two who are pratikul, which is like Sisupal in hatred, and Kamsa in fear, they attain Brahman, the Brahma Jyoti. Or some acharyas say that they attain Siddhaloka, because in Siddhaloka, the jnanis, they are absorbed in Brahman. And the demons who are killed by Krishna personally, they attain this Brahman also, just like the jnanis. But the jnanis, fortunately, they sometimes attain to raga, and then they can elevate themselves further. The demons stay there absorbed and merged into the Brahman. The anukul devotees, those who have affection for the Lord, such as the Pandavas, those who feel some family connection, relationships, such as the Yadavas, the gopis, and the great sages who actually have pure bhakti for the Lord, such as Narada, he said, such as myself, those four, they can go on to the Vaikuntha planets and Krishna Loka. So different type. Now the jnanis say, well, Narada Muni says, tadgatim, they get the same benefit. They go to the highest place, the tadgatim, the place of the Lord. Because they say, the jnanis, that just like the sun, there's the sun and there are the rays of the sun. The rays are none different from the sun. So if we attain Brahman, that's none different from attaining Krishna. Because they don't understand about the pleasure pastimes enjoyed by exchanging service with the Lord, the jnanis. So they're of the impression and of the opinion that to attain Brahman is just as good as attaining personal liberation, such as Salokya, that the gopis and the Yadavas, they all attain by going back to the spiritual world. Different type of liberation. So Kamsa, he certainly would be liberated, because in this birth as Kamsa, previously it was Ravana and Kumbhakarna. Ramachandra killed them. No liberation at that time, because it was killed. They were killed by Ramachandra. Then first was Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, killed by Nrisingadev and Varaha. No liberation then. Next, Ravana and Kumbhakarna. But now, because when Jai and Vijay were falling down from the Vaikuntha planets after being cursed by the four Kumaras told them, "You will take three births, and then you will be liberated after being killed by the hands of Krishna personally." So in this birth, Kamsa, although he was not those two, that was Sisupal and Dantavakra, because Kamsa was killed by Krishna, he was able to attain liberation in this birth. And then we know, not only did he attain liberation, but he wanted to take birth in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes as well. So we'll come to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes today, being he was the Chankazi there in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Today is the disappearance day of Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was one of the 3.5 most intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, Sika Mahiti, and Sika Mahiti's sister, Madhavi. They understood the internal moods of the Supreme Lord, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met Lord Chaitanya in Puri, and Mahaprabhu enlightened him as to who he actually was, the Supreme Lord. Before that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya knew Ramananda Roy, and Ramananda Roy would try to preach to him, but Sarvabhauma, being a great impersonalist, he didn't take anything he was saying seriously, that this is just babuka, it's just emotion. Now that he had seen the Supreme Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he advised Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was going on his southern tour, you must meet Ramananda Roy. He understands all of the essences of pure love. So Mahaprabhu, when he finally reached Godavari River, and he was sitting waiting to meet Ramananda Roy. Now, Ramananda Roy, who is he? There's a lot of different opinions about his identity. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Bhavananda Roy, the father of Ramananda Roy, that you are Pandu and your five sons are the Pandavas. Ramananda Roy was the eldest of the five sons. So some people say that Ramananda Roy is Arjuna. Others say that Ramananda Roy is the Priya Narmasaka named Arjuna. The Priya Narmasakas, headed by Subal and Arjuna and Ujjwala, they assist Krishna in his Madhurya Leela here in Vrindavan. And this particular gopa named Arjuna, he would, as far as possible, take part in this Madhurya Ras as much as the Priya Narmasakas could. They had the closest thing to Madhurya Ras with Krishna. So some say that he was Arjuna in Krishna Leela. Some also say that he was a gopi named Arjuniya, who enjoyed with Krishna here in Vrindavan. Some also say, Kavi Karnapur says that he was actually Lalita. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that Ramananda Roy was Vishakhadevi. And Srila Prabhupada, in his purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, he agrees and he quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur of the opinion that Ramananda Roy was Vishakha. And that is why when Krishna, when Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy met there on the bank of the Godavari, awakening in both of them was the memory of their past times in Vrindavan. And because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna and Radharani combined, and because Krishna loves Vishakhadevi, and because Vishakhadevi is one of the dearmost gopi assistants of Radharani, they couldn't contain their love for each other. And they embraced, and they started to cry, and they couldn't give up each other's association. But then they remembered that the Brahmins were watching them, completely bewildered by the activities of the governor, Ramananda Roy, with this sannyasi. So then they separated and they agreed to meet later. Now after the Ramananda Samvad, where Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy spoke together for several days, Mahaprabhu, he begged permission from Ramananda Roy that I will continue now on my journey, but very soon I'm returning to Jagannath Puri. I want you to give up all of your material activities and come and join me in Puri. So Ramananda Roy followed the advice of Lord Chaitanya. He took permission from Prataparudra Maharaj, his king. Prataparudra Maharaj immediately gave him release with full pension, welcomed him, Prataparudra Maharaj himself gave up his kingly duties. He turned them over, the state affairs, to his son, and joined Ramananda Roy in relishing the pastimes and the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned when he was 31 years old. When he was 48 years old, he wound up his pastimes. And on the day when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was engaged in Sankirtan at the temple of Totagopinath, Prataparudra Maharaj and Ramananda Roy were enjoying together discussing Krishna Bhakti. Suddenly, very inauspicious omens occurred, and a messenger came to them to inform them that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had disappeared. Prataparudra Maharaj, he lost consciousness. He fell on the ground, smashing his head, smashing his body, and he couldn't bear the separation. Ramananda Roy, exactly in the same way, lost consciousness and could not live without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very soon after, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he also left this world on the day of Rath Yatra. So the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were quickly leaving after the disappearance of Mahaprabhu. Now, one time we went to the Totagopinath temple, 1974, and the pujari there, he told us the story that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come here for kirtan, and then he entered into the deity of Totagopinath, who Gadadhar Pandit had been worshiping all these years, and no one saw Lord Chaitanya after that. So we went back to Srila Prabhupada, and we asked Prabhupada, is that true, that Lord Chaitanya merged into the deity of Totagopinath? Prabhupada said, some people say that, and other people say that the Audiya devotees killed him. So there's always different sides to the pastimes of the Lord. Just as we would ask Prabhupada, because you hear so many things that are not exactly, they're a little contradictory to what we hear. And when you ask Prabhupada, he would have very funny answers for it. Or he would just dismiss it. I've never heard that. So now in the case of Kamsa, all of the predictions are going to be fulfilled. All of these uninvited voices. And actually, he sent Keshi to be killed by Krishna. He invited Krishna and Balaram to come and kill him. And that way, all of the devotees would be released from his terrible reign of terror. We'll hear more in the coming days. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Yes. It's in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. I look in the other Puranas to embellish the pastimes that are being described here in the Bhagavad Purana, and this is what the Brahma Vaivarta Purana says when Krishna was about to leave.
Someone asked about where Mishinga Devi. they say this was the spot where Nrsingadeva killed.
Yeah, yeah.
And they ask Prabhupada, and they say, Nrsingadeva is everywhere. So why do you care? He was killed here, he was killed there. He said, we worship Nrsingadeva. Yeah. Prabhupada always a very specific process for us. Yeah. All these different stories, like you say, they may or may not be true. There's different ideas. But his thing was, he said, Nrsingadeva is everywhere. He said, we're worshiping Nrsingadeva. He said, that's our business.
Yes. Yeah, about a hobalam, right. Yeah.
And here in Vrindavan, one devotee asked Prabhupada about Mahatma Gandhi. He said, is it true? Mahatma Gandhi's last words were Ram, Ram. In that typical, I don't know, I wasn't there. So.
You can borrow my computer if you want. I've been collecting books for so many years. I've got all these books, and I just study them, and I just put it all together and try to make it enjoyable for the devotees. Thank you. All right, thank you. There's a question here. He was very powerful. I mean, if Krishna is going to fight with someone, it has to be someone worth fighting with. Okay, Hare Krishna.